The Bear family had a brand new car. And what better way to break in a brand new car than a big road trip? Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, we're going on a road trip. Oh, I'm going for a ride. I'm going to get behind the wheel. Going riding in my car. That's the way the song goes. And that is what we are doing this week. We are going for a ride. This week, it is the Berenstain Bears on the road, not based at all on the novel On the Road. This is not a foundational text in the annals of beatnik history. It is instead a book about the Berenstain Bears going on the road from 1996 from GT Publishing, part of the Family Time books series. We've covered a Family Time book in the past, two of them actually. We covered the Berenstain Bears Say Please and Thank You and the Berenstain Bears Bedtime Story. And what sets the GT Publishing Family Time books apart from other ones is these are large format hardback books. As far as I know, there were only a few of them ever printed, ever made, but they are sort of like Cub Club books in that they toe the line between incredibly simple books and the first-time books. They sort of sit in this weird middle ground. They're not as wordy as the first-time books, but they can be a lot more complex than the Cub Club books. I am not sure what the story is. I would love to actually find out the story behind these books, just because they occupy a very particular place in Berenstain Bears history. And some of them have been released as digital books. Some of them just are sort of lost to the obscurities of time. Some of them have been adapted into animated episodes. Some of them have been adapted into completely different books. They float around. They occupy a weird place in Berenstain Bears history. So this week we'll be taking a look at the Berenstain Bears on the road. But first, we're going to take a look at another Family Time book. And it's one I've mentioned on the show previously. I didn't want to give it its own episode just because it is a retread of other stories that we've done in the past. The Berenstain Bears Hold Hands at the Big Mall. This is very similar to the Berenstain Bears at the Big Mall and the episode Berenstain Bears at the Big Mall. This book was the basis for the Berenstain Bears at the Big Mall, and it's essentially the same as all the other variants on this book, the Berenstain Bears. The Bear family goes to the large mall. Mama has the rule about holding hands. Papa insists he's the only one who doesn't need to hold hands because he never gets lost. He has an unimpeachable sense of direction. And then, of course, he gets lost and they have to go find him. The big draw to these books is, of course, getting a look around the Bear Town Mall. A few things I'll just point out really quickly in this book is that you see a lost cub at the Lost Cub Place, which is haunted by terrifying images of clowns. Human clowns, by the way, which means that, of course, as we all know, clowns are not human beings. They exist as a creature separate from other intelligent life forms. The bears know this. They have a model human clown. It's actually a clown chair. Not only is it a clown chair, it is a dead clown chair. So a child is sitting in a chair with the visage emblazoned with the visage of a dead clown. We know it's dead because it has crosses for eyes. The bear is sucking on a lollipop, and it's a dum-dum style lollipop. It's a sphere, not a circle. The bear is weeping as it sucks on the dum-dum style lollipop, and the dum-dum style lollipop is shoved in the cub's mouth. It's an unsettling, unnerving, and delightful picture, especially since the bear family, since the cub is positioned at the doorway of the Lost Cub Place, which is called Lost Cub Place. Next to the cub is a sandwich board that says Lost Cub Place on it. The arrow is pointing at the small cub as it is weeping and sucking on its dum-dum-shaped lollipop, And the bear family is gazing and pointing at the cub as it sucks on the dum-dum shaped lollipop. It is a picture of despair. It is a picture of sadness. And it is a delightful Berenstain Bears picture. A few more highlights from Hold Hands at the Big Mall is looking around the sheets and pillows store. The most boring store you could possibly bring a child into, although sister and brother seem fine with it. We get a wonderful joke where Mama and the cubs go shopping for new clothes, a new blouse for sister, a new shirt for brother. The blouse for sister is pink with white ruffles. The shirt for brother is a yellow and purple striped shirt, just like Two Talls. And they decide that they're comfortable with their old clothes, so they just buy retreads of their regular costumes. It's a nice little in-joke. Oh, and Mama was looking at a purple dress, does not buy it. Just a nice little joke. They go shopping for honey. They get blackberry, clove, and mint honey, which I like. It's just another peek behind the curtain at the kinds of honey the bears enjoy, and then Papa gets lost. They go and find him, and they look in all the old stores, and of course they discover where Papa is, sitting in the clown chair, sucking on a dum-dum-shaped lollipop at Lost Cub Place. Of course, in the end, he discovers that he needs to hold hands too, so he's seen holding hands with sister. That's it. That's the Berenstain Bears Hold Hands at the Big Mall. I just wanted to make sure we touched on it. It is because it does, like I said, it doesn't need its own episode. It is the same. And it's not as delightfully illustrated as the other book. It doesn't have as many peaks behind the mall curtain as the other book. So, but I wanted to make sure that we got to it, and I have a copy of it now in my possession. So there it is. It's not lushly illustrated or anything. So if you're after completing your, if you want to add to your Berenstain Bears library, you're just as fine going with the Berenstain Bears at the Big Mall. Just, you can stick with that one, unless you wanted this larger format book. And I like large format hardbacks, but this book, this week's book, The Berenstain Bears on the Road, is a discovery that I am actually delighted with. I was, for reasons that go beyond basic Berenstain Bears entertainment, there is lore in this book, and there are callbacks to other books in this book, the return of an image that we haven't seen in a little while, and a flat contradiction of Berenstain Bears' history in this book, meaning, of course, that the Family Time books from GT Publishing are in their own continuity. They are separate from other bear continuities. But let's look at the cover of this book first. Berenstain Bears on the Road. We have the bears in what seems to be their red roadster. Papa's driving, Mama is sitting shotgun, brother and sister in the back. Now, the cover to this book is a little misleading. It leads you to think you're going to get into something that you actually don't get into. So Papa is kind of hunched over the wheel. He's got a smile on his face. He's got a dum-dum-shaped lollipop, a green one, stuck in his hair. There's an apple core on the dashboard. Mama is giving him a look, sort of a I told you so look. The flower in her traveling hat is wilted, falling down in her face. The cubs are in the back being quite rowdy. Sister has a bottle of bubbles. She is blowing bubbles. She has her feet up on the seat in front of her. There is a discarded old banana peel on the back against the folded down top. And A, Brother Bear is not wearing his regular shirt. He's wearing a purple shirt. But also, he is holding one of the cats, one of the rubber cats from the Berenstain Bears Get the Gimmies. One of the cats, when you squeeze it, its tongue comes out. He is squeezing that cat in the ear, or near the ear, of our very own Papa Q Bear. No one seems put off by this, but what this says to me is that the bears are going to go on the road, and the cubs are going to get out of hand. And I'm going to spoiler right now, that doesn't happen. The rubber cat doesn't make another appearance in the book. Sister never blows bubbles. There is food in the car, but that's about it. And Papa and Mama never look this tired in the book. It never gets this bad. Things do happen in the car, but it's not what the cover would lead us to believe it is. Also, if I'm not mistaken, the cover seems to have been drawn not by the illustrator of the interior of the book. The cover seems to be drawn by the Berenstains themselves, perhaps. It's just in a different style. The character models are a little off. What's inside the book, I don't know. I don't know who actually illustrated these books. Would love to know, but I don't. So 1996, let's take a look at the Berenstain Bears on the Road. As we heard at the top of the show, the bears have a new car. So this is not their Red Roadster. This is a car that is almost, but not quite, entirely like the Red Roadster. It's red, like their old one, but it was a shiny, bright, shiny red. It's a convertible like their old one, but it has a push-button top. And more than their old car, above and beyond their old car, it has a new car smell. And they love that new car smell. Which is usually, what is it caused by, like, the outgassing of, like, the carpeting in cars? Like, the new car smell is actually bad for you, if I remember correctly. Like, it's got chemicals in it that you're not supposed to, like, inhale too much. Like, you're supposed to, like, air out a new car smell, if I remember correctly. That new car smell is a bad smell. Don't love it. It's bad for you. Don't love things that are bad for you. So they hop in the car. They're going to go on a car trip. Big car trip. And they're going to see the sights of Bear Country. Now, the first big car trip experience is they have their top down. They have the rag top down so their hair can blow. And they get stuck behind a trucking truck. What kind of trucking truck? I don't know. It just says trucking on the side. And it is a big six-wheeler. Again, one of those oddities in Bear Country. It's a six-wheeler, and that's a thing. Now, usually when I get stuck behind a truck, or as they say in other parts of the world, a lorry, I think, is what they call them in parts unknown. I think of them as 18-wheelers. Oh, I got stuck behind an 18-wheeler. Nope, this is a six-wheeler. I got stuck behind a small truck, but it's larger than large trucks. It's a smaller than large truck, but it's a larger than small truck. It's a six-wheeler. Three of those would be an 18-wheeler. I don't know what this is. It's just got six wheels, three on each side. A good old six-wheeler truck, but it is belching smog. It's got exhaust coming out the back. It actually says belching black exhaust. So they have to zoom past this six-wheeler. So they go zipping down the road. So that's one of the dangers of a new car. All right? Ragtop down, hair can blow, stuck behind a six-wheeler, belching black smog. Got to put that top up, you would think. They don't put the top up. They could put the top up. It would save them a lot of heartache, but they are seeing the country. Got to have that rag top down. Hair can blow. See that country. So they're heading down the road, not a sunny dirt road, just a road. And they almost get caught by a real state trooper. That's right. There's a state trooper hiding in the bushes, getting ready to catch them. Mama says, uh-oh, better slow down. That new car smell, peppy little motor, going to get you a ticket for speeding. So they slow down. They wave to the cop. Who's like, I've got quotas to fill. Sorry, police cop. Can't fill those quotas this week. They're going to miss that Bear Town family because they are smarter than you. And mama has eyes like a hawk, eyes like a wolf, eyes like a bear, a mama bear. So then they see a sign. It says, don't miss Great Grizzly National Park 20 miles ahead. And sister's like, hey, that sign says don't miss Great Grizzly National Park. And papa's like, hey, we're not going to miss it because that's where we're going. We're actually heading someplace. This is a very unusual way to do a road trip. Usually you tell your kids, we're going on a road trip. We're going here, there, or somewhere. We've got a place in mind. Don't worry. So the kids will stop saying, like, this is terrible and boring. These kids are all in. They're totally in it. They're actually excited about going to a national park, something that kids usually aren't unless they are unusual kids. Something that we will touch on in a minute. So they're very excited. They're very excited. Not only do they have a bright red car, not only does it have a new car smell, not only is the rag top down so their hair can blow, not only does it have a peppy motor, it has drinks holders. That's right. There are holes in this car designed to hold drinks. This is the wave of the future. Now, I don't know if you had a car pre-drinks holders era, but to get drinks holders in a car was like you were now in the Jetsons. This is what the space age was. Cars that came equipped with plastic holders to hold your drinks. Once upon a time, if you wanted to hold a drink in a car, it either went in your hand, it went between your legs, or you had to buy a drink holder, roll down your window, put that drink holder in the window, roll the window back up, and hope it didn't slosh. That's right. That drink holder was, if you were driving, it was on your left. If you were in the passenger seat, it was on your right. But they did not. Those manufacturers weren't like drink holders. That's something we should give families. Nope. Nope. You had to add them yourself and buy one for the back seat that kind of wedged in there. Drink holders. But this time they're like, hey, there's a drink stand. Let's get drinks so we can try out the drink holders. And they do. They go and buy Burpsy's Cola. Burpsy Cola at the cold drink stand, which is apparently in the middle of nowhere. And behind the stand is a man in a white tunic, red bow tie, and a paper hat. Like, they are set up. They are set up. All they sell? Burpsy cold drinks. There's two flavors, brown and pink. Do you want a brown cola? Do you want a pink cola? I'll put it in your cup for you and sell it to you. But that is literally all we have. Here in the middle of nowhere, at the Burpsy's cold drink stands, they buy their Burpsy's drinks, and everything's fine until they go over a bump, and that Burpsy cola gets spilled all over the new car, to which Mama laughs and Papa just smiles. Not a big issue, not an issue at all. I don't think the kids understand how the holes work. Because in the picture, it looks like they just set their cola cups on the plastic and not in the hole. It looks like they just used the cup holder as a tray. And also, Burpsy Cola cold drink stand, Burpsy Cola cold drink man in your white coat and hat didn't put lids on these cups, just handed them open cups of cola. You're in the middle of nowhere. People are going to only buy Burpsy Cola from your stand if they're in a car going somewhere. They are in the middle of nothingness. Don't even have lids. Now, I also understand they're in the middle of nowhere. He may have run out of lids and straws. Who knows? Maybe he's like, those things are not environmentally sound. It's 1996. I've seen Captain Planet at this point. I have watched Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest. Not going to give you lids and straws. You'll just have to keep these between your knees and pray for the best. So they've spilled cola all over the brand new car. Already, we are at a point where I, as a father, would be like, no, we're done. We're done with you. I'm done with you as children. Papa's fine, which is unusual for Papa. But again, GT Publishing, Family Time Books, different continuity, as you'll see. Probably different Papa. This is not a Papa who scream. This is a Papa who relax. And then they get to Point Lookout. Why are we stopping, says Sister. Because your Papa and I stopped here on our honeymoon, said Mama. And Sister's like, where were we when they stopped here before? And Brother's like, we weren't born yet. This was their honeymoon. Oh, said Sister. She doesn't understand what that means. She doesn't get it. She doesn't get why they weren't there on the honeymoon. She probably doesn't know what a honeymoon is. But we have covered Mama and Papa's honeymoon before. So this must be on the way to the resort. They went to that resort on their honeymoon. We know this from the Berenstain Bears and the Week at Grandma's, where Mama and Papa decide to have a second honeymoon. And Sister Bear was also confused about why she wasn't in any of the pictures in their second honeymoon, and Brother had to explain it to her then. Doesn't understand what honeymoons are about. Doesn't understand what it means to get married or not be married or have kids. She doesn't understand the biology of it. She doesn't understand the sociology of it. She doesn't understand the romance of it. That's fine. She's a child. She doesn't need to know. But that's why they're at Lookout Point. We weren't born yet, silly, said Brother. They were on their honeymoon. Next place, middle of nowhere, another stand, another white coat, another white hat. It's ice cream stand. Look, said Brother, an ice cream stand. May we have ice cream, said Sister. May we please. Brand new car. I have a new car. It's a new used car. It's actually almost 10 years old. It actually is 10 years old. I have a 10-year-old used car. Just bought it. Got it for a deal. Heck of a deal. Spent next to nothing on it. However, I still have rules about my new used car. And one of those rules is, no, you're not bringing ice cream into my car. You're not bringing ice cream in this car. What are you doing with it? You're eating it outside the car. And when you're done, you get back in the car after you've washed your hands and face. All right? I don't care if we are in the middle of nowhere. I don't care if it's hotter than heck. You eat that ice cream outside the car, and you're eating it in something with a lid on it, like maybe a Dairy Queen cup. No, you're not having a cone, because you're going to drip all over your hands, and then you're going to get that drip all over my new used car. 10 years old, got it for a song. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to let you ruin it. What does Papa do? Sure, you can have your pink and brown ice creams. Ice creams are just like the Burpsy Cola, by the way. They're available in two flavors, pink and brown. I guess it says here strawberry and chocolate. The brown is the same color as Papa's hat. Pink is the same color as Sister's clothes. Doesn't matter because they don't drip on Papa's hat. They don't drip on Papa's clothes. They drip it on their seats. Fortunately, they're vinyl seats, apparently, or leather seats, probably vinyl. Only Brother and Sister are concerned. Only Brother is concerned. And they are dripping all the heck over this. They don't even have napkins. They didn't even get napkins because there are no napkins at ice cream stand. There are only cones and apparently ice cream. But from the picture, you only see cones. Now, as Papa, I would be in a rage. Papa's not in a rage. He doesn't care. It's not a big deal. They got soda all over my brand new car. They got ice cream all over my brand new car. I don't care. I'm Papa Q Bear. You've never seen me fly into a rage and pound the table and threaten my own children. You've never seen that. Probably because he's so looking forward to where they're going. Where they're going is Great Grizzly National Park. Now, we've heard of Great Grizzly National Park, but this might be the first time we've ever visited it. And what is in Great Grizzly National Park? Contradictions. Contradictions to continuity, and they are right here, and there are statues of General Robert E. Grizzly and General Ulysses S. Bruin. They had been generals in the Great Bear War. Yes, we are getting acknowledgement of the Great Bear War, that greatest of bear wars. We're getting acknowledgement of the Great Bear War in a picture book, in one of the picture books. Now, I know we've touched on these in some picture books. It's kind of been mentioned, but this is bald face, just like, here's the Great Bear War. Robert E. Grizzly, Ulysses S. Bruin. Now, this is wrong, because we know that it's Ulysses S. Bear and Stonewall Grizzly, not Robert E. Grizzly and Ulysses S. Bruin. Stonewall Grizzly and Ulysses S. Bear signed the treaty at Old Shag, as we know from the chapter book, signed that treaty in Old Shag. I don't know who Robert E. Grizzly and Ulysses S. Bruin are, except, of course, that this is an alternate universe. And how do we know it's an alternate universe? Because the treaty they signed, the famous peace treaty, which got signed at Old Shag, which is, of course, we know, located in the heart of Beartown. There's a bench right by it. That's where Grizzly Gramps sits. Old Shag, it's a back scratcher. Well, what's in Great Grizzly National Park? Peace treaty tree. Treaty tree. Oh, treaty tree. Peace treaty tree. Peace treaty tree. Peace treaty tree is in Great Grizzly National Park, and it's just called Peace Treaty Tree. And it says there was a famous tree under which they signed the peace treaty. What? 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 Peace treaty tree? This is wrong. This isn't right. It's the opposite of right. It's wrong. And it's in Great Grizzly National Park. Of course, I can't say it's wrong. Alternate universe. Competing continuity, Peace Treaty Tree, is in Great Grizzly National Park, not in Beartown. However, we've got one more blow for your mind. One more thing to blow your mind. Now, how long have they been traveling? About half a day at this point. It's just a road trip. This isn't like a big vacation. They're just going on a day trip. Great Grizzly National Park. But what else is in Great Grizzly National Park? We have statues, Robert E. Grizzly, Ulysses S. Bruin. We have Peace Treaty Tree, which is the most fun thing in the world to say out loud. I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. And then in the pause, I want you to say Peace Treaty Tree. As a listener to my show, I'm going to pause. You say Peace Treaty Tree. When I count down, 3, 2, 1, go. I'm going to say go. You say Peace Treaty Tree. Just because I want you to feel it in your own mouth. I want you to feel how delightful it is to say this. Peace Treaty Tree. Okay, I'm going to count it down. You say it out loud. I won't know if you actually do it. So this is the honor system. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1, go, and then pause. 3, 2, 1, go, pause. And then I'm going to start talking again. And in that pause, in that silence, you'll say Peace Treaty Tree. Say it as many times as you can, actually, because it's fun to say fast. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Fun, isn't it? So the big thing beyond the statues, beyond the Peace Treaty Tree, is Mount Grismore. Mount Grismore. Mount Grismore is located in Great Grizzly National Park. They're on the edge of a cliff. They look off in a distance. There's Mount Grismore. It says, best of all was Mount Grismore. It was a huge mountain with great figures of Bear Country history carved in its side. Now, in the United States of these Americas, in the United States of America, we have a monument. It is called Mount Rushmore. It is in the Black Hills in South Dakota. It's granite, and it is part of the Mount Rushmore National Memorial. And it has four faces, four 60-foot-tall faces carved in its faces, carved in its thing, in its side. George Washington, the president. Thomas Jefferson, another president. Theodore Roosevelt, he was a president. And the Mr. Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is another president. Four presidents. And according to the Wikipedia, they represent the nation's birth, growth, development, and preservation. Four presidents. South Dakota. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think the Bears live in South Dakota. I don't think the Bears live near the Black Hills. That's never been a stat. We know they live close to the beach. We know they live close enough to a beach to run to the beach. I don't think South Dakota is at the beach. I don't think Mount Grismore is in their version of South Dakota. This is a whole other thing. But it's not just that. It's that Mount Grismore has great figures of Bear Country history carved in its side. Not figures of four presidents, but great figures of Bear Country history. Now, of course, you can't see this image, but I can describe it to you. First, there's a bear kind of looking aloofly with its eyes closed off to the side. Don't know who this is. It's just a bear saying, like, I'm just going to look over here, close my eyes, and kind of lift my nose up. Now, that could be meant to represent George Washington, but George Washington has been drawn in Bear Country books before, and he's got the powdered wig and whatnot. And this bear just has a regular bear hair. In fact, this, and kind of like a popped collar, this bear could be male or female. We don't know. A lot of its hair is covered up. The next bear, who would be Thomas Jefferson, is instead a bear wearing square glasses. Now, none of the faces on Mount Rushmore have glasses, but this bear is wearing a pair of squared glasses, square frames. And again, normal hair, just normal hairstyle. The third bear, who should have a mustache, you would think he would have a mustache if he was meant to represent Roosevelt, does not have a mustache. He just has sleepy eyes. He's kind of just smiling. Sleepy eyes. Got a big round nose. Big old smile. Sleepy eyes. And again, regular hair. But it's the fourth bear. The one you would think would be representing Abraham Lincoln. That gives me the greatest pause. Because this bear has a monocle. A monocle. And is staring out into space very happily. A monocle. I don't know who these bears are supposed to be. I have absolutely no idea. They aren't supposed to be the four presidents that our Mount Rushmore has. Mount Grismore is a whole confusing ball of mystery. I don't know who is on Mount Grismore. Maybe I'll post a picture of it, and you can tell me. I'll post a picture of Mount Grismore as soon as I am able, and you can tell me. I'll post it on Twitter and the Facebook page. Tell me who is on Mount Grismore, because I desperately would like to know. So then they stop off at Park Shop. They buy some souvenirs, some apples, peanut butter crackers to eat on the way home. It's time to go home. Again, Mount Grismore, just up the road from the house, just a day trip away. And now the single greatest page in Berenstain Bears history. Single greatest page in the history of Bear Town, history of Bear Country, history of the Berenstains, history of the Berenstain Bears. It is... The bear is driving home. It's late at night. Moon is up behind them. Papa's at the wheel. He looks a little tired. He's got a little bit of a smirk on his face. Brother's in the back seat. He is smiling broadly. Mama's in the front seat. She looks worried. And why? Because sister's in the front seat with her. Not buckled in. And why? And Mama is holding a handkerchief. And sister looks concerned. She has her hand up to her mouth. And why? It says the trip home was fine. Some apple cores fell behind the seats of the new car. All right. His sister got car sick and threw up a little. But except for that, the bear record scratch. Wait a minute. Sister got car sick and threw up a little? Sister got car sick and threw up a little. And it's important enough that there's what looks like a picture of the aftermath of sister sitting up front with mama with her hand on her mouth. But that's it. No other acknowledgement. Sister got car sick and threw up a little. Just threw up a little. In the car? Everyone looks fine. They're all smiling except for Sister. Sister got car sick and threw up a little, and this isn't the whole book? To me, The Berenstain Bears and Sister Got Car Sick and Threw Up a Little is a book, is the name of a book, is the name of, you do not, a kid does not throw up in your car, and that is not this. I have had children throw up in my car. I have had children throw up in my car, and let me tell you, there's a whole book to be written about that for parents and children. I had a child, not my own child. I had a child throw up in the back seat of my car once. She threw up in the back seat of my car. Delightful child. Love her to death. Friend of my child. She looked terrible. She looked sick. I was driving. And my child and this friend sitting in the back seat. And I notice there's some commotion in the back. And I look up in my rearview mirror. And I see that the kids are behaving oddly. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? My child says, so-and-so threw up. I pull over in like less time than it usually takes to pull over. I pull over and I'm like, what? And she's thrown up and she's trying so hard to keep it on her and not in the car. She's trying so amazingly hard, harder than you would think a child could. I stop. I tell her, open the door. She opens the door. She throws up all over the, finishes throwing up. All over the street. I am so sorry if there's more throw-up talk here than you expected from a show about the Berenstain Bears. She throws up all over the street. We get her cleaned up as best we could. Ruin a pair of socks doing it. I used to have like emergency super warm socks in my trunk. I go and pull them out. Clean her up with my socks. Throw the socks away. You're not salvaging those. Throw the socks away. Get her all cleaned up. Do the thing a parent or a friend of a parent or a parent of a friend. You're never supposed to make a huge deal out of it. Throwing up is just part of life. Everyone throws up. Don't want to embarrass this poor child because she's already embarrassed. She was trying not to make it known. She didn't want to make a big deal out of it because it's embarrassing to throw up. It's especially embarrassing to throw up in a car, which is an enclosed space you cannot escape from. You do the thing you're supposed to do. Don't even worry about it, you tell the child. Don't even worry about it. While in your mind, you're very worried about it. Not because of the kid's health. She's going to be fine. She's a child. What did kids do? They do three things. They run, they fall over, and they throw up. That's what kids do. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. You throw up in my car, it's nothing. It's no thing. I'm going to forget about this tomorrow. I've already forgotten you've done it. That's how you treat throwing up in the car. I don't even know what's even happening now, you say to the child. You what it in the car? Throw up. I don't even know what that means. You look a little dirty. I'll help clean it up. I've got an old pair of socks. I'll clean up your face with these socks. Don't worry about it. It's not even a big deal. It doesn't smell like anything. It doesn't look like anything. It's perfectly natural. I throw up in my car all the time. You're allowed to throw up in my car. If you need to throw up, come to my car and throw up in it. That's how comfortable I am with the fact that you threw up in my car. I don't want you to feel weird about it. You threw up in my car. That's how good of a parent I am and a good of a friend to my children's friends I am. Make that child feel just at home. In fact, I would be like, I will throw up now just so you don't feel like you did anything weird. I'm throwing up right now all over myself just so you feel fine. Feel fine about it. I'm a good person. Cleaned it all up. Sent the kid back to their parents' house. Fine, we're done. We're done, we're done. I remember it being really colorful. I think the kids had just eaten, they just eaten ice cream. So it wasn't even gross throw up because it was like colorful, which is kind of fun. In any case, it's like Willy Wonka throw up. In any case, that was years and years ago. Little kids. My child would never sit on that side of the car after that. Even though I cleaned it up perfectly. She barely got anything on the seat. She barely got anything anywhere. She got it all over herself because she was trying to be courteous. What a beautiful child. My child not only would never sit on that side of the car, she wouldn't even enter the car from that side, which it was the passenger side, which means it was always the side against the curb, which means that even on busy streets, she would insist on going to the other side of my car. And she always referred to it as the throw-up side of the car for years after that. You remember these things. What did the Berenstain Bears do? Sister got car sick and threw up a little. But except for that, it was great. That's not how it works. You need a Berenstain Bears book about a child throwing up in the car because that's like 60 pages worth of plot right there, throwing up in the car. So the Bears take a trip. They get home. I forgot there's one page left in the book because I fixate on that throw-up page. This is also, I think, the first time a character has ever thrown up in a Berenstain Bears book. And of course, they were tired when they got in. They were almost too tired to get out of the car. I wonder, said Papa as he sat there, what happened to that new car smell? Well, The final picture is Papa looking tired, sitting in the car. Brother's asleep in the back. Sister's asleep in the front with Mama. Again, not buckled in. There's a banana peel thrown over the brother's shoulder. There's an apple core on the front dashboard. And the car is simply drawn with stink lines coming off of everything. The car smells like rotten banana. The car smells like Burpsy Cola, old Burpsy Cola. It smells like spilled ice cream. It smells like spoiling apple core. And it smells like vomit, like child vomit, which contains all those smells and more. Congratulations on your new car, Papa. You have filled it with disgustingness. It's disgusting. Now, taking a new car on the road, on a road trip. When I was a little kid, I was in like third or fourth grade, we went to Disney World. It was our only time as a family we ever went to Disney World. I've been to Disney World twice. I would not go again. It seems way too complicated. Like, as a parent, I'm like, I would love to take my kids to Disney World. I'd love to. As a human being on the planet Earth, I'm like, I don't have $4,000 to spend on a trip that I would have to plan down to the minute. Like, literally plan down to the minute. I don't care enough about Disney World. You want to go to the Star Wars park? Fine, go. I'm never actually going to go there. If I did, I would go by myself. Because then I could wouldn't have to work. Because all I would be able to focus on is getting to things on time. And if one person was like, you know what? I don't feel, I'd be like, shut up. Shut up. I planned this trip literally months ago because you have to. I'm never taking my family to Disney World. Never, never. Alana, if you're listening to this, you don't have to worry about it. I will never try to take my family to Disney World. I will go by myself. I will never take the family to Disney World. Alana does not want to go to Disney World. It interests her not at all. Honestly, it doesn't really interest my kids. My kids don't care about Disney. Mitzi might be interested in it just from like a curiosity perspective, but she literally could not possibly care any less about Disney characters. They mean nothing to her. And I'm not saying this as like, I'm so proud my kids don't like the mouse. I'm just saying like, I don't feel that pressure. I don't feel that pressure. She'd be like, what's all this? I don't even know what this is. Fine. Not in any case. My parents bought a new car, Dodge Ram. Take us to Disney World. Driving from Houston, Texas. 2-day trip. At least a 2-day trip. Drove through the South to get to Disney World. It was amazing. It was amazing taking a trip in this nice brand new car. But it was also like a giant car. We could spread out. We stopped a lot. We saw stuff along the way. Went to an alligator farm. Never done that before. Went to a lot of roadside attractions. Never done that before. That was a real on-the-road trip. And you know what? I remember it for the rest of my life because we didn't really do that many on-the-road, like long, long, long car trips. Totally worth it. Went to Disney World. Went to Epcot. I waited in line with my family for the entirety of Space Mountain. That was a long line. Waited in line for Space Mountain. Got to the Space Mountain. Got to the load-in. I panicked. Couldn't go on the ride. I hated roller coasters. What were they thinking? Waited for all of Space Mountain. Waited that entire line. And then I was like, nope. I was like, nope. My family wasn't happy with me then. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? Not going on Space Mountain. So that was the Berenstain Bears on the road. I went on Space Mountain eventually. Went back with friend in high school to Disney World. Had a great time. Went to Epcot. Had a great time again. Actually went to MGM Studios Florida at the time, which was a thing. Had a great time. Saw the Ninja Turtles. It was wonderful. That was the Berenstain Bears on the road. GT Publishing, Family Time Books, 1996. You want a copy of it? I would pick up a copy of it. I think it's kind of cool. I like the GT books. There's only a handful of them. Pick them up. You can usually get them used online for a few dollars. They're out there. They're not terribly expensive. I got mine, I think, for like $4. $4 each. That's not bad. So they're out there. They're cute. They're large format. They're fun. They're good for kids to hold in their hands. And they're kind of Berenstain Bears oddities. And I think they have like, I think this is the one, Berenstain Bears Bedtime Story, I believe is the version that has the best version of the Bedtime Battle. So, you know, Berenstain Bears on the road. I really liked it. And if you liked it, and if you want to hear more about it or more about Berenstain Bears taking a road trip, patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. This week, I will be covering the Berenstain Bears car trip, which is loosely based on the Berenstain Bears on the road. And I say loose is loosely based on the Berenstain Bears on the road. Same basic concept. Got a different plot, but it does end up with Mount Grismore at the end. Completely different animal, though. Completely different point. This is just more of a celebration of a road trip. Ends with Sister Bear throwing up. The cartoon, no throw up. But if you want to hear more about it, patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Throw a dollar my way every month. Throw $5 my way every month. Throw $10 my way every month. You're only helping me out. And also, April 22nd through 27th, the Fort Myers Fringe Festival in Fort Myers, Florida. If you're down there, I will be performing Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Fort Myers Fringe Festival, my stage show, Deep in Bear Country. Come check it out. See me prance around on stage, show a bunch of pictures of the Berenstain Bears, talk about Berenstain Bears, talk about myself, talk about my life, talk about Stan and Jan, talk about the books, talk about my favorite parts of the books, and generally just freak out an audience because what's this guy doing? Why is he so excited about Berenstain Bears? I've only done it locally and usually had people I knew in the audience. I'll be performing for strangers, complete strangers who don't know me and have no emotional investment in me up there on stage. I could lose them as soon as I open my mouth and they're like, this guy is too old to be doing this. I'm too old to be doing this. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Patreon.com/Bear Country. You can also find me online, BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com. You can write me at BerensteinBearcast@gmail.com. And you know what I haven't had in a while? A new review on Apple Podcasts. So if you want to go to Apple Podcasts, rate and review the show, throw a few stars my way, and write a review. Let people know what they like about it. Tell your friends. If you like this show, tell your friends. Just say, hey, you heard this guy? He just talks about the Berenstain Bears. I don't know. It's fun. And I will see you all next time, deep in Bear Country.